السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله ونحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل الله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتاب مبين: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته تموتن ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلقتم منها زوجها وبثنا منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. In the name of Allah, the Merciful, and the Bestower of all mercy, truly praises for Allah, and we praise Him, and we seek His help, and we seek His forgiveness, and we put our trust in Him, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and our wrong actions. Whosoever Allah guides, no one can lead astray. And whomsoever He leads astray, there is no one to guide him. And we bear witness that there is no deity but Allah, one without a partner. And we bear witness that Muhammad is His worshipper and messenger. Blessings of Allah and peace be upon him and his family and his companions. Allah praise to Him Most High said in His clear book: O you who have attained to faith, fear Allah as He should be feared, and do not die save that as you are as Muslims. And O people, fear your Lord that created you from oneself, and from it its mate, and from the twain spread out a multitude of men and women. Fear Allah in your claims over one another and toward the wombs from which you have come. Truly Allah is a watcher over you, all of you. Alhamdulillahi ladhi jalla yawmana jumati sayyidat ayinami wa nabudu wa nasta'anu wa iyaha. وهو الذي فرض الصلاة الجماعة بقول الله يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا نودي للصلاة من يوم الجمعة فصلوا لذكر الله وذكر الله. Praise be to Allah who made the day of congregation to be the best of days. We do not worship and we do not seek aid other than from He who made the congregation worship obligatory us, as witnessed by the saying of the Most High: O you who have attained to faith, if you hear the call for the salat on the day of the congregation, make haste in the remembrance of Allah and leave your worship, and leave your remembrance or leave your trading. Al mukminun mukminun hum aladina amanu wa tat amanu kalubukum bidikri Allah ta amanu kalub. The sincere believers are those who have believed and whose hearts had a remembrance of Allah. For truly, in the remembrance of Allah, the hearts find their rest. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in the Holy Quran: إن الله يمر بأدلب لسانه وإذا كرب وينهى الفحشاء والمنكر وبقي يذكركم ولعلكم تذكرون. وأخبر أدريها لأنهتم وتنكدوا عيمنا بأدى توخذة وكاذ جعلتم لله عليكم كفيلة إن الله يعلم ما تفعلون. He says, surely Allah enjoins justice and kindness and generosity to those who are near to you, and He forbids all that is shameful and that which is wrong, and He admonishes you in order that you might remember Him. Fulfill the covenant of Allah when you have taken it, and do not break your oath after you have confirmed them, when you have made Allah the guarantor or the guarantor over you. Truly Allah knows what you do. In addition, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O my Lord, give me wisdom and unite me with the righteous ones. Make the report to be truthful among people of later times, and make me to be one of the inheritors of the Garden of Bliss, and forgive my father, surely he is from those who are astray, and do not disgrace me on the day when all shall be raised from the dead, the day when neither wealth nor sons will avail, save the one who brings to Allah a heart that is whole. Our hearts, my dear brothers and sisters, always tell us what is the essence of the truth. And I certainly don't want to say that our hearts will ever deceive us, because will never deceive us, because certainly heart doesn't deceive, but the truth of the heart that is put through the mind sometimes can be deceiving. We influence with our mind what's in our heart. But if we could truly read what's in our heart, we would find the truth there. And Allah tells us that very clearly, because He says that you find me in the heart of the believer. So that if indeed you find Allah in the heart of the believer, you wouldn't find the untruth there. And of course, traditions and cultural inclinations are such that can also be deceptive, as we find sometimes in the way people interpret the Quran today. It's very important that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us what the requirements are for someone who is complete in their faith, who is acceptable to Allah, that is to say, who's in harmony with Allah, the one who comes with a whole heart, the one who comes with a true heart, a pure heart, a good heart. The heart knows what is true. And here is an example where Allah tells us that we look at the hearts of the human beings, but also at the same time, we need to use reason. When He describes, for example, the gods of the Jahiliyyah, these are described as, pieces of stone that couldn't speak and couldn't eat, and yet people would worship them and put food in front of them. And we see that this is, from reasonable thinking an unreasonable thing. And we see that we don't doubt that the people of Mecca at that time worshipped their gods with some sincerity. We can't assume that these people were insincere. It would be ridiculous to think that people somehow were just totally ignorant and didn't have any sincerity in their worship of Allah. However, we see how their reason is set aside. Probably people said, well, why do we put food in front of the gods? And the children probably said to their parents, why do we put food in front of these stone idols? And the parents probably said, that's what we do, and we've always done that. But somebody probably said, we don't have hardly any food in the house, but why do you give food to this stone, to these stones? And they never eat it, and then the animals come, or it rots. And then some philosopher at the time of Jahiliyyah will say, well, they take some of the purity from the fruit or something like that. I mean, we can assume that there was heartfelt sincerity among some of the people in the Jahiliyyah. But we see how their reason set aside, and maybe they thought that these gods didn't deserve to be spoken to by these gods, and so therefore they appeared to them as stone. Who knows? These 365 gods in the Kaaba at the time. And so they set their reason aside, and maybe they came to these conclusions. They told the children, don't ask those silly kind of questions, why don't stones eat, or things like that. And you find the same problem, of course, in India. I spent so many years in India, and all the food is put there, and then the monkeys come and eat it, and the dogs come and eat it, and the cats come and eat it, and the poor people come and eat it. The rotten food, too, sometimes. They're given separate food, hopefully. And so the explanation to the people are that the gods eat the essence of the food, and they leave the physical aspect of it. And that's a sort of nice explanation. The point is, we can't assume that these people, just because they set their reason aside, weren't sincere. And individuals who are committed to trusting in Allah, trusting in God, committed to Islam as taslim, in sincerity, security, submission, and trust, the true meaning of this word, are like building bricks that are mortared together or fused together to form a solid wall. And each individual, as Sheikh Haftaru used to say, is like a brick in that wall, in that building. And each one has to have a certain tensile strength. It has to be strong, has to be made well, has to be capable of withstanding the weight of the stress that's called upon it to bear. Just this dirt, this clay, and water and fire. Earth, air, water, and fire. By the nature of its structure, it has to bear stress. Well, we are the Amar al-Khalaq. We are made of earth, air, fire, and water. Also. And we're constructed to bear certain stresses also. Have you noticed ever? And we build with rocks because if we built with just mud, clay in this environment, the weather today would eventually destroy it. In Iran, for example, they built these domes over centuries, and the weather would make them fall down. Sometimes people would be killed, and the houses would be killed. Or the people would be killed who lived in the houses. And just like it, with every rock has to be prepared in order to stand, or every brick has to be prepared in order to stand the weight placed on it exactly, so too, like these bricks, we have to be prepared properly in life for the trials and the tribulations of day-to-day life. Fired, if you will. Fired by God, fired by Allah. And the great fire is the fire of the rocks to make them strong, are the fires of not just tests and trials, but of love, and of compassion, and of mercy, the warmth of love. Let's not call it a fire. Let's make the metaphor change a little. The warmth of love, and the warmth of compassion, and the warmth of mercy, the warmth of good companionship. And we know that this kind of warmth builds good character, just like fire builds strong bricks. Made out of the same material, whether you're reading the Torah, or you're reading hearing the Injil or the Quran, it's a Torah made out of the same stuff, of the earth, of the clay. And if you live in a county in the United States where you have a building inspector, those bricks have to pass some kind of minimum standard. And so, too, an individual has to pass through a process of training and development in order to be an effective individual within the construct of the deen, within the construct of Islam, hopefully within the construct of any religion. To be able to hold the weight, to carry the weight of the deen, the meaning of the revelations of God. And so, true Muslims, true believers, humble people find themselves, especially today, carrying weights in many different ways, in many different places, but some of the people are not fired well. And because of the imperfections of some of those bricks, if you will, that make up the structure of Islam today, the burden isn't carried well. And there are cracks in it because of the way people have been brought up to think. Because of the weight and the burden of cultural baggage, the misunderstandings and the misdirections of people of ignorance. Just because a person stands at a minbar like this doesn't mean they have any brains. I'm a witness to that. Just because an individual speaks to people in terminology that is above their general understanding doesn't mean that what they're saying is true or right. It may be true, but they may not even understand what they're saying. And when you multiply that over millions and millions and millions of people who are not well prepared, who don't understand what they're saying, and her just repeating whatever is left in their mind of what was repeated to them was ever left in the mind of the person who repeated it before them. And they don't have access to true, real scholarly thought. They don't have real access to people who have experienced the sweetness of their religion or their deen. They repeat the rules and the laws over and over again until they divest themselves of their heart and all that are left are the rules and the laws. And this has happened over historically, to every community, as Allah says, you know, I've given this message to communities before you, meaning the Jews and the Christians, and now I give it to you, and if you don't get it, I'm going to have to give it to somebody else. That's what it tells us. Because things become misunderstood. That's a nice way of saying. And some of those bricks are weak, and because they don't carry the burden, and they crack, and they don't build strong buildings or strong people. And so people turn to the simplistic explanations and follow the most simplistic reasoning. And they've lost the way to the heart. And there are times in the history of humanity and the history of different religions, certain groups of people try to rise up and recapture the heart again, historically, in each of the religions. Someone tries to recapture the mood and the sense of the heart. Because in that, there is not only just happiness or joy or dancing or singing or whatever they may think it is, whatever the religion, but there's meaningfulness. It's in resonance with the truth we understand that we see all the time. In the beauties of nature, in the love between human beings, in the respect that you have, that you receive from people who respect you and who you give in return respect, from the compassion and the mercy and the kindnesses that evoke the same thing in others. That's the real deen. That's the real religion. That's the truth. That's the haqq of Allah. The construction of such a person who understands what is love will find what is also what is contentment, will also understand the meaning of sorrow and grief and loss. They will be able to bear the stresses and strains and the vicissitudes and trials and tribulations of day-to-day life. And one will understand their role as an individual and as part of the jamaat, of the collective, of the ummah. Of the people who gather in the meeting, like today, or in the ummah, the greater people. And they will define that ummah as human beings. Not by their language, not by their culture, not by their sect, and not just by their religion. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said through Prophet Muhammad, I didn't come to create a new religion. I came for the upliftment, for the refinement of the human character. Meaning that it had gone through some entropic experience. And so we have responsibilities. How we act within the community, how we act within the family, how we act among the believers, how we act among those people who don't believe or who don't practice. How we act among the people who call themselves believers but don't believe, the munafiqun, the hypocrites. There is adab for each of these situations. And these are the ways, by understanding that these are the ways one builds the building of character which Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to reconstruct. A building which had become weakened from the inside through the misunderstandings and through the misuse of religion. He was indeed a class A contractor who specialized in renovations. And what the Prophet and all the Anbiya before him, Sidna Isa, Jesus, Sidna Musa, Sidna Dawood, Sidna Harun, Sidna Ibrahim, all who came before him came to make strength, to build strength in the character of people. And now we live in a time where we see it's weakened again, where the people who wear the immah and who give each other the idn, who give each other the permission, and they wear their cloaks and their garb, just like I'm wearing, or fancier or less fancy, whatever it may be. Those people are weakening not only the religion of Islam, which is 1.2 or more billion people in the world, a large percentage of the people, but weakening the world, weakening humanity. And so we have to return religare, we have to return back to the original teachings, to look again back at them, and to find where the problem lies, not to try to reconstruct the world like the Salafi and the Wahhabis do, of the time of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, where they'll gladly fly there on an airplane to reconstruct the world of a time when there were no airplanes. They'll drive in a Mercedes-Benz when there were a time when there were no cars. And they'll fly in lobster from Maine when there was no way to fly in lobster from Maine. I mean, and the ridiculousness of all that. Or they'll fight a battle against the Kafirs while they're killing Muslims hundreds at a time, like in Pakistan yesterday. How dare they? How dare they call themselves by any name that is associated with God? And it's not just there. It's everywhere. And as everybody blames everybody, whether it's in Palestine or whether it's in China or whether it's in Kurdistan or whether it's in Chechnya, whether it doesn't matter. And when we look back at the original teaching, we have to look back through the heart. And that's why tasawwuf is so important, why Sufism is so important. What has the individual to do in order to prepare themselves for their role in life? Their role as a Muslim, a true Muslim meaning one who is submitted to God, who is seeking the safety and the security and the cover of the divine presence by whatever name you want to call yourself. Linguistically, in Arabic, Muslim. These are very basic questions, but they're questions that have to be answered in order for us to emerge with a human community that is humane. A viable and important and contributive Islamic, Muslim, spiritual, Judaic, Christian, Hindu, Buddhist society, a society of believers, because we are, after all, as we said many, many times, all children of Adam. Not just as we are children of Ibrahim alayhi salam, all children of Adam. And those who are at peace and secure in Allah and are at peace and secure with each other, they can become peaceful and secure with everyone. For the individual character and for the individual self needs revival, tajdeed, and renewal. And the beginning of this process, as we're told, lies in the heart, in qalb. And if we look at ourselves and we look at what's made of, what we're made of inside of us, we realize that we are made of that same whole universe that we will see when we look through the whole Hubble telescope. Universe upon universes upon universes. Atoms and protons and neutrons and mesons. Galaxies within us and galaxies outside of us, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed us right at the core, right at the center. Right at the center. And with the consciousness and the responsibility for all of it in both directions. Whole universe comprised of physical realities and universes and emotions and thoughts and desires and urges and instincts that create within us even little institutions. So it's no surprise that we create institutions in the outer when there are these institutions within us, where there are classes of citizens also, healthy cells, and then there are parasites, and then there are all kinds of things, you know, and all kinds of relationships in the communities within us, right? And there's even emigration. We won't get into that. And there are complex means of feeding all those people, individuals, inside of them. We should therefore see if the metaphor is correct, and if the schema is correct, we should accept that there are other universes and worlds of people out beyond us. After all, it's called Rabbi Al-Alami, the Lord of the Worlds, plural. A universe that motivates us and drives us from within, but has reason and understanding, and which gives us our roles and our responsibilities and our culture and ideology and our Islam, our tasawwuf, as we mold our lives, hopefully in a harmonious way. But it is molded in the heart. The heart is the mold. The heart, this qalb, does not just mean the physical organ that pumps the blood, but it does mean that too. But the center, the axial point of our being, the center of our personality, the center of our motivation, the center of our desires, of our ideas, a sense of what is right and what is good and what is wrong, and then is interpreted through our mind. So what we want to do is not so much to be satisfied just in our minds, but satisfied in our hearts and supported by our reason. Quran explains that this is the key for the human being. As I quoted, that the success depends not on what a person wants physically or his or her personality alone, but what the person does. But lies at the core of the individual's character. In Quran, Allah says, who reveals this message? None but those except for the one who comes to Allah with a sound heart. No one will be successful other than that in his eyes. A sound heart. So what's a sound heart? Heart that goes like that? No. The Prophet ﷺ said, beware, there's a piece of flesh in the human body. If it is right, then the whole body is right. And if it is corrupted, then the whole body is corrupted. That's the heart. And we all know how our hearts can be deceived. We all know how our desires move us to not listen to what the heart tells us truly, and then the mind captures the heart and tells us through the heart what we want to do, because we'll follow the heart's words. So shaitan says, I speak to the heart of the person, and then the heart will tell the person to do what is wrong. I'm sure most of us have had that experience. So according to the Quran, it is the basis for our happiness, or it's the basis for our misery. Is the basis for rightness, or it's the place of corruption? social institutions or other kinds of groupings or institutions can add to the benefits of society, but they can also corrupt society, as we've seen in the world today, as we saw historically. Look at the kind of political institutions that have corrupted our society in the, over the previous 10 years, 8 years. Let alone what happened in the world wars that preceded us, and looking around the world and see how institutions are used to corrupt humanity and to create poverty where there was once wealth, like in the Congo, for example. There can be institutions of happiness or institutions of terror, institutions of greed, institutions of war, institutions of misguidance, and institutions of love and kindness. And so the basis of happiness and contentment lies in the heart, if it is fed in the right way, if it is developed in the right way. Even the cures to diseases lie in the heart. So we have to come to know our hearts and not to be moved or dissuaded or confused. And at the depth of our heart is a righteousness that we are looking for. And that's what stops the human being from seeking what is wrong and what is corrupt and what is destructive. The Quran explains that it is not the eyes that go blind, but it is the heart inside that goes blind. And this is the starting point of life. It is the basis of khawl, the basis of meditation, of muraqabah, the basis of purification, at-tazkiyah, the basis for good, strong social institutions, for honest corporate institutions, honest government. It's a foundation for zakat, of assisting those who are in need, for sadaqah, giving charity, for bringing people to the truth, not the truth. And so many people do service to humanity and don't realize that they're serving Allah. And the basis of service is that khidma, whether it's service to a country or service to a government or service in a political social institution or service to another human being or service to an educational institution or service to your family, the idea is to put something else before yourself and to take all your skills and all your ability and the love in your heart and put it forward to create a good product, a good service, helping other human beings. This is the core of love, the core of the heart. And isn't it not, when we fall in love with someone, isn't it a form of service we're trying to perform? And aren't we only asking only that it is seen and appreciated? There are those of us who say we are and who live as if we are present ourselves, as though we are totally committed to our deen, to Allah, to the truth. But then when we look closely at ourselves, we say, I have this flaw in myself. I need to correct this. And we say, I'm committed to Islam, but not what those people call it. Not what they're doing in the name of Islam. I'm not committed to what those people are doing in the name of Christianity up the road, what their ski resort or what those people are doing in the name of Judaism, or those people are doing in the name of the Hindu community. I'm committed to it in its security and its truth and in its openness and its inclusiveness and its submission and the jihad al-akbar, in the striving and the greater jihad to refine myself, to struggle with myself. And so we find that we have to always be aware of our commandments and always be aware of the words that express them. Our attention should be always riveted on keeping our hearts the center of our being. And our children who sit here and don't hear enough stories and to keep them that interested need to understand that the core of their happiness in the future and their safety in the future, and I mean safety at every level of safety, because all we have to do is turn on the news and find out, lies in their sincere understanding and their protection of their heart and their faith and their trust in their family, in their parent, in their society, in their community, that their happiness lies in the goodness that they do and the care that they take, and mostly in the company you keep, in Sohbet, in the company you keep. And so we have to reach out to one another and help one another and do what is prescribed, of course, in the Quran or in our Torah or in the Injil, but to do it with a faithfulness, with a sincerity, and with a self-confidence. How we prepare ourselves will be how we prepare those who come after us. And how we prepare ourselves and those who come after us is reflected in the world we live in. So all we have to do is look at the world we live in and the battles that are being fought today on the battlefields and in the congresses and in the refugee camps and in the inner cities and in the drug dens of the wealthy. In the Muslim community also, in the Jewish community also, in the Christian community also. And we have to understand that the heart has at the forefront of our thinking, the heart that is filled with true knowledge and true understanding. Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma ansana finaka khayru nasirin. Bafta finaka khayru fatihin. Wafilana finaka khayru ghafirin. Warhamna finaka khayru rahimin. Warzukhna finaka khayru razikin. Wahdidin ajina min al-khami al-zalimin. Wahablana rihan tayabidin kama hiya lavi ummika. Washurna alayna min kaza'inahi rahmatika wa minna. Biha hamlana wa karamati ma salamati min afiyati fi dini wa dunya wa akhira. Inaka lakuni shan kadir. O Allah, succor us, for you are the best to aid, and open us, for you are the best of opening, and forgive us, for you are the best of our forgivers. And have mercy upon us, and you are the merciful, and provide for us, for you are the best of the providers. And guide us and deliver us from the hands of oppressors, and grant us a fair wind in accord with your knowledge, and wash upon us from the treasures of your mercy. Transport us by it on the conveyance of your generosity with peace and well-being in our spiritual life, in our worldly life, and in our life in the hereafter. Truly you have power over all things. Allahumma yassir lana umranana ma'aratahi wal kulubana bi'abadana wa salamati wal afiyati fi dinina wa dinina wa nasalaka imanan daiman wa nasalaka kalban kashian wa nasalaka ilman nafian wa nasalaka dinan kayaman ونسألك العافية من كل بلاء ونسألك تمام العافية ونسألك دوام العافية ونسألك شكر العافية إنك على كل شيء قدير. O Allah, make the order easy for us with serenity in our hearts and our bodies and peace and well-being in our worldly life and our spiritual lives. And we beseech you for the faith that is everlasting, and we beseech you for a submissive heart, and we beseech you for your knowledge that is beneficial, and we beseech you for certainty that is genuine. And we beseech you for a religion that is straight, and beseech you for the well-being free from every affliction, for complete well-being, and for continual well-being. And we beseech you for your thankfulness for that well-being. Allahumma wasfi wujahana bi nuri sifatik wa adkina bashirna yawmina kemati baina awliyaka waja'ala yadaka mabsutanan alayna wa ala ahlina ومن معنا برحمتك وكننا سحبا فسفارنا وكلفات في أحلنا واتمس على وجه أيدنا وامسخهم مكاناتهم فلا يستعون المدير ولا هم أجيا ولينا يعني ما المجيب يعني ما المجيب يعني ما المجيب. Oh Allah, make our face our faces to shine with the light of your attributes, and make us laugh and rejoice on the day of resurrection among your friends. And make your hand be spread upon us and our families and our children and those who are with us by your mercy. Be our companion on our travels and our guardian in our family. Efface the faces of the enemies and freeze them in their places so that they are unable to go or come against us. O most gracious responder, O most gracious responder. There are those who among us who are not well. We ask you, O Allah, to send your shifat upon them, your blessings of healing upon them. And there are those who from the time we stood here a week ago to this day have passed from this world. And we ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to lift our souls near to you, near to the to your presence, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Though we know that you don't sit on a throne and you're not somewhere off in the sky, but that you are the keeper of all souls and you are the mercy and you are the compassion and you are love and you are the eternity and you are the everlasting, bring those souls near to your everlastingness and your fulfillment and your fullness, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All those who believe in you, all those who strive for you, even those who failed but strive day after day for your mercy, O Allah, lift their souls, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and bring them to you. Remember those who are suffering all over the world, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the poor families who have lost their members of their families in the name of their own religion in Pakistan, in Iran, in other parts of the world, in China, in Xinjiang, and among the Uyghurs, but among the people of all places, the people throughout the world where there is strife and misunderstanding and grief showering upon them, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Lift up their leaders' minds. Help them to set aside their differences. Remind them they're all children of Adam, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that time here is brief and must be used for good purposes. Amen. Alhamdulillah, madhabu nastahnu wa nastaghfiru wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh. Nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika wa nashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ala alihi jami'il anbiya wa mursalin wa makatibi mukarrabin wa ali Allah as-salihin wa mujahidin fi sabilillah bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Truly praises for Allah, and we praise Him, and we seek His help, and we seek His forgiveness, and we put our trust in Him, and we bear witness that there is no deity but Allah. One without a partner, we bear witness that Muhammad is his worshipful slave and messenger, with blessings of Allah and peace be upon him, and all the prophets, and all the messengers, and all the angels brought near and upon the sound friends of Allah, and the faithful combatants on the straight path by your mercy, O Allah, you who are the mercy of mercies. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fi kitabin al-mubin. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Yasalluna ala nabi. Ya Allah, dina amanu sallallahu alayhi wa sallim wa taslima. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد اللهم وارد رسالاتنا كل آخر راشدين أبي بخرين الصديق ومر وفخر وعثمان ونرائن وسيدنا إمام علي كرم الله وجهه وارد اللهم أن سيدنا الحسن وسيدنا حسين ومهما سيادة رفاتنا ما فاطمة فاطمة زهرة وأهل وبيت الكرام وأجواجه نبياتك وتهاتك أمتي ومؤمنين وأنا صحابة الصالحين وتابعين وتابعهم وإبادي لله مخلصين لإسلامين وإمامين وإحسانين إلى يوم الدين. يبدأ الله إن الله يمر بأدلي والإحسان يؤتى القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون وذكر الله أكبر. وأقم الصلاة.